Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Today's episode is for every business owner who feels stuck, surrounded by the same voices, the same habits, and the same stupid limits. Because we brought in a man who builds momentum like it's a full-time sport, Mr. Jamar Jones.
Yeah, this dude doesn't just talk branding, leadership, or entrepreneurship. He lives it. Reinvented himself more times than most people change passwords. And every time, the man levels up.
Jamar breaks down his circle methodology, simple name, nuclear impact. We're talking self-awareness that punches you in the chest, intentionally forces you out of autopilot, and connections that can literally change the trajectory of your business.
And he doesn't sugarcoat it. If your circle is full of complainers, excuse makers, and people stuck in neutral, guess what? You're going to stay right there with them.
Exactly. Jamar talks about how to build a circle that pushes you instead of drains you, challenges you instead of pacifies you, and introduces you to opportunities you didn't even know existed.
And then he takes it further. Resourcefulness, leverage, execution, and yeah, enjoying the damn journey. He maps out the climb in a way any owner, any leader, any generation can use starting today.
If you've been feeling like you're one introduction away from a breakthrough, one mind shift set away from momentum, one decision away from finally getting unstuck, this episode is your sign.
Let's get into it. Turn it up, take some damn notes, and maybe, just maybe, change your circle and change your life.
Here is the wonderful Mr. Jamar Jones.
Welcome back, everyone, to this episode of the Blue Collar BS Podcast. What's going on today, Brad?
Not much, Mr. Stephen Doyle. What is going on in the dark land of Detroit Motor City today?
It's kind of like a free day for me. Kids are gone. Wife's working.
Beautiful.
Where'd you send the kids to?
One went to go spend the weekend with a friend, and the other one is dress shopping for a dance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so you're getting a shotgun cleaned this weekend is what you're trying to tell me.
Nah.
No?
But I do. No, I'm sharpening my saw blades, though.
Okay, perfect. So you can put them on the back 40 in all those trees. I got
it.
Okay.
That's right. That's right.
I got it.
That's right on.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Brad, who do we got on the show today?
Today, we got a gentleman that I've known for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years, something like that. Jamar Jones. He's a visionary force behind Forever Media, transforms businesses through the influential power of branding and business advisory work. He's worked with some amazing individuals and companies over his span, like Marcus Lemonis, Red Bull. He does this great thing out at Times Square out in New York with a bunch of folks. He's got some great programs. New book, not a new book, but a book, Change Your Circle, Change Your Life, that's been really impactful, which is why I want him here today, is talk about his circle methodology, the Movement Business Conference here at Pfizer Forum, Henry Meyer Park. He does a lot of shit, knows a lot of people, has been around, and one of the coolest dudes that I am blessed to have in my network. So, Jamar, thank you for being here.
Oh, man, it's an honor. It's an honor. Yeah, we've been rocking for a minute. I'm like, dang, this has been that many years?
Yeah. The little couch. I met you on the little couch in that little office while you were in Brookfield at the small little corner office that made it look better with all the lights on it and all your little.
Yes. Yeah. You're the first thing you said was like, man, I thought this room was a lot bigger.
Yep.
That was the first words out of his mouth.
Here in his like little 300 square foot little square with this couch and the lights, I'm like, man, it looks fantastic on camera.
Yeah man, you gotta build. We were like, hey, we wanted to have a nice space and stuff, and that little couch, I think we paid like, it's a futon, actually. It wasn't even a full couch, it's a futon put together. But yeah, that was during 2020. So that was crazy ride.
So before we get into the show, Jamar, which generation you identify or fit in with?
Millennials. Millennials, 100%.
Just like you, Steve. Oh.
100% millennials. I actually just posted today, Steve, that I said, I can't wait till the 6-7 trend just dies.
You and me both.
I just call me old head, but I'm like, man, it also means absolutely nothing. Exactly. That's what gets me. If it meant something, cool. We cool.
Yeah. But, okay. All right. All right, Jamar. Let's go rock a little old school here for you. All right. So what were the words that you were using while you were growing up as a teenager that meant absolutely nothing, that fucking just crazed all your parents and friends and older people back in the day?
There
weren't any, because there were.
I can't remember any. Everything meant something. Everything meant something. Like, I'm trying to think of, we just had to have words that express things, you know? And that and it would always meant something. Like, we didn't just say, oh, wait, hold on, let me think about this. No, I can't think of anything.
What are you holding on to there, Brad?
Just pick anything, any phrase, anywhere. It could mean 1,000 different things, or it could mean nothing. 6-7 could mean, it's like the word fuck. It could mean nothing, or it could mean 1,000 different things. Right?
We were basic, man. It was just like sick, dope, tight, you know. I got one. Sorry. It's the commercial, the weather. You know, I think that meant nothing, right? That meant nothing.
That commercial. Dude, right?
Hey, whatever. I mean, there's lots of phrases that have some implicit thing behind it potentially, but ultimately meant nothing.
Yeah. But 6-7. I think it's the worst of them all, Brad.
I'm right there with Jamar. I'm right there.
It comes from a song that it just was a line about a basketball player being 6-7, but then people made a dance to it, and then all of a sudden, you just say it for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're just trying to get people to say the word 6-7, and then everybody goes, 6-7! Like, that's all it is. That's all it is.
But goes, okay. You are old, right?
I'm old, man. What I said. Call me an old head, but I'm
some of your let's start going through some of your musical library of things to just get people to start talking about stuff as well, right? it's there. You're just that much higher up on the totem pole,
theory. Probably, man. It's just the old head in me, man. I'm just like, why are we doing this?
Right?
Yeah.
Number one. Banana. Banana. Means nothing. It's just the song from the Muppets.
That's true. That's true. And also, I think everything is exaggerated now with social media. So that's also the other piece of it. Back in the day, you just had, you know, just in your class or your school. Mm-hmm. Everything is just put on steroids now with social.
Yeah.
So how did you get down the path of, as I looked at your LinkedIn profile, you know, going through the things you did to get into media?
Yeah, a lot, man. A lot of navigation. So I was a former hip hop artist for 11 years of my life.
Yeah. And there were no words in there that meant nothing.
every line had meaning, Brad. Every line.
Meaning, Brad. Come on.
Super deep, double, triple entendres. Like, you couldn't even mess with me back then, man.
Okay. Whatever you want to say.
So I was doing hip hop for 11 years and had some success in it. I was at my peak. I was doing about 100 shows a year. Opened up for T.I., Snoop Dogg, Keisha Cole, Common, Bone Thugs and Harmony. A lot of big acts. And unfortunately, I tore my vocal cords. In Minnesota. So I was performing at the University of Minnesota, tore my vocal cords. And also at the same time, though, I was also working in IT for 8 years. So I also worked there. So I got a lot of experience, especially learning about the corporate side of things. And also a lot of personal, like, self-development too, just within working in IT. And actually, I think that helped me in the music side because I was able to book all my own shows. So I was like marketing and booking, doing all the sales, like all the stuff myself, and applying everything I learned in corporate to what I had going on. So then once I got laid off, it was about 45 people got laid off because they had closed down the office in Milwaukee because their headquarters was in Chicago. that's when I started my business, because I was like, I was already thinking about doing something, but I just kind of launched my business, and it was anything I was kind of good at. like literally, I'm not even kidding, guys. I was kind of good at, like, I had built a lot of skill sets through music and stuff, and also on the IT side. So launched it, and then
good shoe game, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I know you're trying to steal my shoes, man. He was at the event, literally, like my shadow. Like, I'm like, oh my God, is Brad behind me?
He's got a really good shoe game.
Oh, shoot. So the photo and video stuff just really, that's the stuff that really took off and actually started getting some clients and getting some stuff moving. And so you fast forward now 10 years later, going into our 11th year of business, and got into the media side of it because we were doing all these videos for people and they didn't know how to use it. So we just started to, turn into like, hey, let's also teach you the strategy, what we walk through. And then an epiphany happened where I started to have a lot of people that would follow or interact with me, or people I would get connected to. I'm like, man, why are these people wanting to find interest into what I'm doing? And it really was the personal branding side of things, mm-hmm. Because I mm-hmm. did it in music and now I was doing it in business. And people were like, yo, I'm trying to do like a smidgen of what you're doing. Like, how do I apply that to what I got going on? Mm-hmm. And then so I just kind of dropped all the other things and I hyper focused on personal branding and business in that space of entrepreneurship. And it's been fantastic ever since.
Correct. Once you decided to be the one thing instead of everything to everybody, that's when life changes, right? And so that's where I think we want to take this show today a little bit. It might be a little diversion from most of our shows is to focus on that ownership side of things and entrepreneurial aspect of it. And, the change your circle, change your life aspect is 100% accurate, right? What got you here isn't going to get you there type scenario. And when I saw you at the conference in September, you kind of went through your circle methodology and I'm like, man, that would be really good for our audience to hear in an abridged version. So walk us through your philosophy and theory a little bit and how can we apply that to the different generations and maybe life cycles of businesses along the way?
Yeah, for sure. So for everybody here, I wrote a book called Change Your Circle, Change Your Life. and I did it because I'm like, how in the world did I get here at this point? And it was my ability to consistently change my circle. And I think most people go through life not auditing their circle of the people that they're around, who they allow into their space, into their lives.
Even, I don't know why.
I know. That's where I'm just sitting here going, change your circle, change your life. Man, why? How am Brad and I connected? Because this circle, it's not the circle of life.
How did you guys meet?
Blind date. San Diego 2016.
Steve, now come on. I mean,
wouldn't say blind date is there is
it was blind.
It was blind, but we both arrived at the same hotel in San Diego in December of 16.
To go through our training session for the franchise that we're part of together.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. So that's cool.
It was a blind date, theoretically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
But you had similar focuses and interests, and that's what aligned you guys together. So, yeah, it's just that importance of, because a lot of us are like, why am I not getting to the place where I want to get to, or how come I'm not getting ahead in life, or why do I keep feeling I have these setbacks in my life? And a lot of times there's a big reason. Yeah. Some of it is, just circumstance, right? Things happen to us as people. But I do believe that if we audit our current circle of who we have around us, we can really gain a competitive advantage to be able to achieve the things that we want to achieve with the right people around. A lot of us are one or two introductions away from completely changing your life. And I always test people a little bit with like, so if you think about, let's say, two levels up, so whatever your goal is in life or your goal is in business, think about whatever the next version of that goal is. Like, what's the next level of that goal, right? I just talked to somebody today and that they're like, man, if I could just make $100,000 doing what I love to do, like I would, that's all I want. Now, mm-hmm. I'm like, that's very possible, by the way. It's very, very, very possible.
Unless you're making, unless it's like custom shoelaces or something, or, you know, very, 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 maybe not, maybe buggy, who knows, unless it's very, very niche.
Yeah. That yeah.
might not be possible, but in general, there's a lot of ways to do that.
It's a lot of ways to do that, especially in today's time. So I'm like, but if we look at the next level of that and then think about who is the type of people that are at that level. And if you could have an introduction to those people and they could spend 6 months with you, what would that do for you? What would that do for your business? That's the power of someone's circle. And it's not just having that relationship. It's the network and the connections and opportunities that you get by knowing those individuals. And so I break down the Changer Circle kind of philosophy into three different phases. And one is your self-awareness. So first, to change your circle or to even know who you got around, you got to understand you first. You know, just like most things, people like, oh, you know, I don't want to hear anything about mindset, Jamar. Sorry. Sorry. That's
sound familiar, Steve.
You know, because everybody's talking about this mindset stuff. Oh, my mindset. And it's like the truth of the matter is, but it starts here, because if you can't even interpret or be able to understand the information that you're being presented, then it's gonna do no good for you. Mm-hmm. It's gonna do absolutely nothing for you. And so I call it unlocking your self-awareness. So you got to like get really deep around your confidence, being understand your fear of like, how do I get past fear? How do I gain a wider perspective? And how do I have self-love for myself? I think those are like the four key ingredients. There's probably some other sprinkles of things, but those are the four key ingredients to unlocking your self-awareness. Because then when you're more self-aware and you wake up and you finally unplug yourself from the matrix, you can then start to say, okay, I'm in control. I'm in the driver's seat, instead of feeling like a victim every day, all day. Right?
So all right. Yes. Jamar, you're the millennial of the show here today. So, so let's just say, you know, here's our audience. We're targeting those blue collar entrepreneurs and things like that in general. So I've got the 62-year-old guy that has the HVAC firm or whatever, and here's where it is. And I've been in my local community. I've always been in my local community. I've always done what I've always done. Right. And I'm just, here's what it is. And I might be moping around. I can't find good people. I can't hire. How do you help that type of person get through? Because when I look at what you've been doing, most of your folks are either going to be of the same generation, slightly, not a lot of some Gen Xers, but mostly it's to the younger. As I see your promotions and I see the things you're doing, it's mostly younger folks that are taking that on. How would you help somebody in that?
Somebody like Brad, right? How would you help somebody?
You and I have already talked many times.
Now,
no, I know.
Brad, first of all, Brad's 100% right. But I will say this, though. We target the younger generation a little bit because it's easier for that transition, right? And the understanding of personal branding.
Completely, because I don't have 30 years of habits building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say, our last retreat that we did in Denver, we had 2 70-plus-year-olds
nice.
At what? That retreat.
Hell yeah.
So I'm just saying, it's... Now, you know, is that the majority? No, but yeah. But we had two.
Walking through those, that piece of getting, how do you break down that first, just that first piece of everything's happening to me, not for me, right? That for me is a massive,
mm-hmm.
a massive hurdle of my bills are coming due. I got people quitting me on it all the time. My phone's not ringing. There's lots of that type of the economy sucks. It's this fault. It's that fault. It's tariff this. It's all the woes me Eeyore bullshit.
Yep.
What are some of the tricks or techniques that you may prescribe?
Yeah, great question. So for me, it's first, especially at that age group, for me, it's about your current circle first.
So your mindset is not going to change, because a lot of times they're pretty tight with the core circle that they've built over the years, right?
Yeah.
They have
the same two guys that have run the business for 35 fucking years.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, if you got, okay, there's levels to the circle that you can't just cut people out. So if it's a business partner or if it's family.
I don't have to cut them out, but I can add to it to influence circle differently, right?
Yes, you can add to it, right? You can add to that circle. But I will say, though, you have to start to limit the negative or the what I call vampires. So the people that are draining your energy, they latch onto your neck.
Guess I'm doing the show by myself.
Yes, you are, Cupcake. Yes, you are.
guys, the Blue Collar BS podcast is literally about to be ending. Right after this episode. Because of
Jamar. We got hell of a show, Jamar.
I'm killing the show. But I do believe, like, you have to start to limit and separate yourself from those people that are constantly inundating you with the victim kind of mentality, right? Mm-hmm. The people that are constant complainers, or the people that are bums that ain't doing nothing. Right. Mm-hmm. The people that are just like, oh, woe is me. I can never get ahead. I can't do this. Blah, blah, blah. Like those constant complainers and the people that are toxic, the people that are.
He's so good at what he does, Jamar. He's the best technician we got.
Cool. He'll be good somewhere else. He'll be really, really good somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because you literally cannot afford, because that behavior on a consistent basis. So there's a thing where have you guys ever seen the thing where, like, you have a cup of water and you play different music to the water, and like what happens to the water?
Six, seven?
Have you? God damn it. I should have said anything at the beginning of this podcast. All the younger people that listen, and they're like, 6-7. Oh my God, Brad. Brad's in now. Like, he just made himself in.
He's moved. He's moved.
I don't think so. Back to the music in the water.
So, yeah. So sorry. So there's like a glass of water, and if you play different types of music to the water, it generates a different, like, vibration, right? Yep. And human beings are made up of mostly water, right? So the things that were the behaviors and the things that we're inundating ourselves with on a consistent basis changes the vibrations, and it changes the energy that we have within ourselves. Whether you, and this is not no hocus pocus stuff, all right, guys? This is, like, legit, like, and the reason why I know it's legit is because, like, if I listen to a bunch of, like, rap music that they're really pissed off at the world, like, if I listen to a bunch of Eminem, right? And after I'm done listening to, like, 3 hours of Eminem, I'm kind of just pissed off. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just, like, walking around. I'm like, what? You know, like, it just changes your energy and your mood. So we know this stuff is true. So if we are getting that constantly on a day-to-day basis of complaining, whining, victim mentality, you are going to then eventually become that. So we have to start to separate ourselves from those things. And then the work within can kind of start, because you're finally getting yourself a little bit of breathing room to even think about these things. That's why I'm really a big believer in experiences, because a lot of times people need to go to something. Like, you guys were at an event and had an experience together, right? Mm-hmm. We need to separate ourselves. I don't know. I want to know what you guys were up to. All right.
Those rickshaw rides were something else.
Is this a PG? Is this a PG podcast?
No, it is not. It is explicit as all hell.
No.
Yeah, <dang. laughs> but that's why I'm really big. So if you are somebody that is constantly getting inundated with these things, I think the first step is go to an experience, take a leap and go to an event or something that's going to remove you from the thing of your day-to-day activities, and go to something where there's a room full of people that are where you want to be. I think mm-hmm. no matter what that is, right? If that's church for you, if that's an event, if that's a retreat experience, if that's a theme park, I don't care where it is. Like, go to something where you are trying to be at. And I say theme park because usually people are pretty happy at a theme park, except for all the kids running around. But well, the adults are not happy with all the kids running around. But the thing is, like, you got to separate yourself from it to give yourself time and space to be able to snap out of it, right? Because mm-hmm. you're not, it's so hard to change within the troubles. So that's what I would tell that individual, is like, remove yourself and then start to put up some boundaries, just time. So like, if it's like, if this person calls you every single day and they're calling you 3 times a day, well, just answer the phone a little bit less. If they're texting you about something, don't be so quick to respond. Don't be so quick to, you know, pick up the phone and respond back to the text. If you're spending time with them, just try to cut the conversation a little short and go do something. Like, just start to slowly put up the boundaries for yourself. And that's a good starting point, at least to get your mind going.
Tomorrow, that's already great.
Yep.
No, we're not ending the show here.
But I hope that helps. I hope that helps, like, yes. Just starting to remove that. And that will help with some of the inner work. And then you can continually evaluate your current circle to figure out, like, who are the people that are promoting and helping where I'm trying to go? And who are the people that are like crabs in a barrel where they're like, you know, right. They keep pulling you back down.
So our tail end of the generation. So we have a strong elder population in our tail of our distribution model here. So those of you that go to the diner every morning at 6:30 to have breakfast and sit there and bitch and complain about everything, stop fucking going and bitching and complaining about it. Go someplace else.
Have
your with breakfast different people.
Different people. And have conversations there and open up the opportunity, because we don't need to listen to George always complain about milk prices and listen to Donnie complaining about the fuel pumps at the gas station and so-and-so complaining about how somebody else showed up for work late today, blah, blah, yes. blah, 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 blah. So mm-hmm. just stop going to the diner every day. Go once a week instead of every day.
Yeah, start to limit that. And like, that's really good, Brad, because like the habits that we have, because we're creatures of habit. So if we're going to the diner every single morning and that's just our thing that we do, like, we have to change that. And it's going to be hard in the beginning, but you need to put yourself in different places, different situations to change your habit. So mm-hmm. to do that, though, you have to be the one. And I just want to be very clear, don't matter what age you are, you can change. Right. You can decide to change today. Mm-hmm. Right. It may be a little tougher because you have these things ingrained and they're implanted. Right. They've been in there for repetition for so many years. But it is possible to change. And the best way to change is your environment first. That's why I'm a big believer in going somewhere different with different people, different energy to get mm-hmm. that, to give you a little bit of fuel so that way you can go in the direction of change.
So is C stand for change in circle, or what does the C stand for?
The C stands for connection. Connection is very key. And that could essentially mean like you're getting connected to new people, right? You're building a real connection, a real rapport with people mm-hmm. Instead of just using them as, you know, a task to get things done.
Come on now. Sometimes shit needs to get done.
I mean, it's true. Sometimes some stuff needs to get done, but relationships matter. mm-hmm. Relationships matter for sure.
That is a true statement. So we work on the connection and some of those changes, right? We're changing the connection by not going to the diner every day. We're going to go someplace new. We're going to create some new connections.
All we right? got to create
we're
some
just,
new
we're
connections.
Just gonna use this, we're just going to use this older side of it to go forward because there are so many of them that are so close to being so much better in a better spot to get to retirement, to get to the sale, to get to the whatever, that, hey, we got to work on that connection. So stop going to the diner every day. Then we do what's the I in the circle there, Jamar?
You just want to be really intentional. So like,
I didn't know that.
So yeah, you got to be really intentional about like where you're going. A lot of us are just kind of we end up in situations.
So better than this year is not intentional?
Better than this year.
Is that not an intentional moment? Hey, we just want to be better than this year. Is that
Do you hear that a lot? Is that what a lot of people say? Better than this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to be better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
What do you want next year to be? I just want to be better. Well, what does that mean? Right. So there's no intent behind it. There's just generalities because we're not willing to have the difficult conversation to be intentional about, I want this much more revenue, or I want this much more profitability, or I want, you know, six more employees, or I want these three new customers, or whatever those things that we're trying to do with the business, or I want, right. I want to have five clients in Lake Country. Okay, great. Cool. But then you're sitting in West Allis right now.
Yes.
you probably need to do something about that and not, you know, you might need to change your truck. You might need to not have it be the 1976 rusted out white van that's no longer white.
Yes.
That's down by the river.
Right. Exactly. I've been here, you know.
I know.
Right. So you got to be intentional with those things to make that happen. Is that what we're kind of getting to here?
100%. And also just the conversation. So all your conversations need to lead into where you're trying to go. A lot of times people just don't ask for help. And I know that that might be a tougher thing as you get older is asking for help. But it's funny though.
The word support.
Yeah, I mean, like more people just need, but more people just need more, like most people are willing to support somebody else, are willing to help somebody else. We just have to ask for it. And I know, like even, and I think millennials, I would say, we have this thing where we think we can do it ourselves. Like we're trying to
That's not just you. That's not just you.
It's not just me. Okay. Maybe it was passed down from.
It was passed down from the boomers and the Xers for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, but, and then I think that the like Gen Y and Gen X, I don't think they ask for help either because they're just kind of, I feel like they're just kind of lost.
We gotta figure this shit out. We're just going to figure it out. We're going to internalize it. We're going to figure it out. Why? I ain't going to look stupid, and sure as hell ain't nobody going to know about what I need help about.
Mm. Exactly. Exactly. So no one's asking for help. But the thing is, if you're trying to get into a new circle or trying to accomplish a goal, a lot of times, like just by asking for some help is going to get you. So that's where the intentionality also comes from, that your conversations are leading to like, hey, do you know anybody in, you know, Lake Country, or do you know anybody that's doing this, or do you know, like just ask, and that's going to get you there. The R in circle is being resourceful. So like a lot of us think that when we have to do something, we have to start from scratch, or it's going to be an uphill battle, and like
recreate the wheel.
Recreate the wheel over
around.
Well, I can do it better, faster, cheaper. No, no, you can't.
No, you can't. So it's like being resourceful, like using the resources around you, like get a little creative, you know, on how your approach is, and don't think you have to do everything yourself. You don't. And I think that's where this, the resourcefulness comes from, because a lot of people are like, hey, I want to go in this direction. I want to start this business. I want to produce my own event. So I'm going to go and do this. And they're not using any resources around them to be able to achieve what they're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Or they're trying to do stuff that doesn't matter, right? There's things that don't
tell you the countless things that people do that just don't focus.
It doesn't matter to the end result of it, right? If you're putting on an event, the tablecloth color really doesn't matter, but
doesn't matter,
right? The centerpiece, if there is one or isn't one, doesn't really matter, but we're going to spend all that energy on trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
It's like, just stop.
Yeah.
The important part is the event and getting people there and making sure you got the right people in the room.
Yep. Yep. 100%. And it's funny. I have this rule about, cause we produce a lot of events at Forever Media, and the one rule is like, if there's stuff like that, Brad, I don't want to know about it. Like That's my rule. I don't, if you're missing a chair, I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know. You can figure that out. Like at the big grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. Like right. We can figure out something. And 9 times out of 10, it doesn't matter. Those little things, I don't care. If we're missing tablecloths or if there's not enough napkins, so there we missed one box of lunch. Like, I don't even want to hear about it. You got to figure that out. And that's actually helped me. That's helped me a lot because it put a line in the sand. So that way I'm not getting inundated with like the little stuff. And then the next letter in circle is literally a C. So that's just your circle.
C-I-R-O-C. Yeah, the circle itself. Okay.
It's literally right. A circle. You know? Just like, just figure out what are the new circles you need to get into, right? What are the new circles that can help me achieve X result?
Right.
What are those people?
Yeah. What are the associations? What are the community events? What are the pieces or networking things you could go to? Is it the MMAC? Is it IBAW? Is it National Association of X, Y, and Z? Is it, what is it that you can now find other people to create that, create those connections, be resourceful and intentional about those connections? There's so many people that go to networking events that have zero intention of doing anything when they get there.
You're talking about me.
Right? It's like, hey, I know, well, you know, they show up and it's like, well, there's no intention of ever trying to, I want to meet 3 new people, or I want to get two follow-up meetings on my calendar with, I don't care who, right? Just being intentional and resourceful to go get those things is really, really important. And most people don't spend the time doing that. And that's why most business owners don't go to networking events, is because they don't. Right. Well, why would I go? Why would I want to go there and listen to these bankers and listen to these insurance people just try to sell to me? Maybe you could learn something and challenge your existing bank and your existing insurance person to be better for you. Maybe.
It's a good train of thought. So when I go to networking events, I actually don't go there thinking like I want to go meet X amount of people. My goal is typically to try to, like, I may go to a networking event, like I want to give 5 introductions to people.
Yep.
Like that's my goal. So my, now the thought process in meeting people is different. It's not about me, it's about them.
Correct.
And which changes the whole, it flips the whole thing. So now I'm listening in on cues and things like, oh, I know this person I can introduce this person to. I know this person. So that's why I'm constantly just doing introductions all day long, is because I know an introduction is one of the most valuable things you can give to somebody that doesn't just, it all it costs you is time. That's all it costs you. And to the other person, it's valuable because you just helped them out and you didn't need to. You didn't need to at all. You didn't need to, like, if you just meet somebody, like, you're just building the trust piece and you don't need to extend your network to somebody else. But if you do it, and now if you do it fairly quickly, like, that helps gain trust with you, and then they're gonna be like, dude, how can I return the favor? Like, what can I do for you? And that's where you ask for the help. So there's a whole science to this. Like, that's where you ask for the help. That's how you get into new circles. But you have to be willing to give. You have to be willing to give. It's not all about you. It's about what you can do for others and being able to give first and add value to somebody's life. And then they're more than willing to return the favor most of the time.
Correct. My goal every year is to make 100 introductions of meaning, right? Whether I make that introduction directly via email because I have the information, I know them well enough, or through a LinkedIn connection, direct introduction email, but it's to make 100 purposeful connections to individuals, whether they're trying to seek employment, whether that's to connect commerce, whether it's to help out with a insurance issue or a legal issue or whatever, doesn't matter. Here's a way, you know, I mean, we've connected guests on the show to other guests on the show to conduct commerce because it's the right thing to do and it's important.
Yeah, 100%. And more people need to have that mindset just of how many introductions can I make this year? And you're going to change your circle. So going back to the beginning of the conversation of like, how do we help people do that? Make some introductions to people. So if you want to meet some new people, go and find people to make some introductions to. Now, don't introduce them to your toxic people that you got, though. Okay. We don't want, we don't want that.
Like, then you can do that.
Yeah. If you don't like
them, I'm going to introduce you to Susie at the diner.
Jamar. Hey, George, I want you to meet Jamar.
Jerk move.
Dang. Put me in the toxic bucket.
Man,
not at all.
Bites into the show and puts him.
But
in
but that's important, right? So back to the original scenario, right? They're at the diner. They're doing a thing. Well, great. They already know all the same people because they always use the same resources. And now when they go to the new place to have breakfast or whatever, hey, you know what? You need to meet this guy over here that I already know. So now I've made that connection across there. You might jump generations. You might jump locations. Yes. You might jump regions. You might jump other things. And now that's going to be the spark to connectivity along the way. That. Well, why would I ever do that to anyone? Why not?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're the general contractor and you're at the new place eating breakfast and you hear somebody talking about they need a roof, why don't you introduce them to your roofing guy? Mm. Because your roofing guy is more than happy to take the introduction to create the work, but it might not be in his area that he wants to, but he wants to get into that area. So cool. Great. Mm-hmm. And let him tell the customer or the introduction yes or no. Don't make the decision for them.
Yeah. And a lot of people do that. They make that, you know, they put the assumption in their own head before they even have. And that's why oftentimes when I make an introduction, I'm kind of like, I just feel like you two have synergy. I don't know what's going to happen with this conversation, but like, this is what I was thinking, but it's up to you two, you know, to have that conversation and see where it goes. So the next one is the L, and that's leverage. So
that's not the L flag for the Cubs, just so we know.
Wow. Wow.
I'm not a Cubs guy. It's okay.
No.
The L flag is amazing. It's the best flag of all sports flags.
Okay. Steve feels a type of way about that.
Man.
He's in Detroit. It's okay.
I'm in Detroit. I don't give two Fs about Chicago.
It's when this show airs, it's going to be right in the middle of baseball season. It's going to be right around that time, potentially. It's perfect timing. As I sit here in my sweatshirt.
So the leverage is really, it's a two-pronged thing. So one, it's like, how can you create leverage to be able to produce the task, right? To be able to get to the goal. How can you create your own leverage? So what are things that you have at your disposal? And I look at, so I spend all day working on people's brand positioning. So like, how are you positioned? If you can get that better and better and better of how you're positioned, you have more value and more leverage to be able to offer to people. Right. And it creates those conversations, makes it a lot easier to do things when you have leverage. And so the other thing about it is like, who has the leverage to be able to achieve the task also? So it's, you know, a lot of times it's about thinking about like, it's not about the how am I going to complete this? It's like, who do I need to know to complete this? Correct. So, and a lot of times people are like, oh man, I need X amount of budget to be able to produce this thing. Or I need to now go and make all these like to make the product, I need to now do it all myself. No, who are the people that are already out there that you can leverage their network or their resources or their process to be able to produce the thing for you? And then in exchange, if you have good brand positioning, you can also have an exchange of like, hey, what are things I can do for you instead of just making it just a transactional thing? I'm a big believer in trying not to make things transactional. Obviously, it needs to happen sometimes, right? You need to get a job done, boom, exchange of money, boom, there you go. But if there's a way to make something a little bit more than that, I'm all ears. Like, I'm trying to figure out how do we make this. Like, I just told a brand partner that we're about to bring on. It's a place out in West Palm Beach, Florida, because we're about to do another potential retreat out there with a huge establishment out there. And I literally told her, I'm like, if we can avoid it, I am not just trying to rent your space. Okay. Like, I'm trying to build a partnership. I'm trying to build a relationship with you. If there's a problem we can help you solve while doing our thing, let's talk about it. Now, if it comes to like, we just need to rent it, then I may look at other options. I may look at other options because if it's just a transaction, Because the thing is, you're going to hit me up with your sales coordinator that's going to try to upsell me every step of the way. And like, I don't want to do that.
Well, you need centerpieces and tablecloths.
And I'm like, I've already done that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. Like, I want to build a real partnership here. And so, yeah, that's what we're talking. But once again, it was about the leverage that I have from a brand positioning standpoint and the things we've already done to be able to even come to that conversation and figure out, hey, I want to produce an event here. How can I leverage somebody that already has the space? So it's just a different way of thinking about how your approach of achieving something.
Okay. And then the E is the enjoyment. What's E?
It should be. Hey, you could also say enjoyment, but it's execution. So it's basically, you know, once you do the thing, right? Once you execute the thing, how can you also leverage the circle to keep that thing going, right? Keep the momentum, keep the building of the thing. So I think enjoyment though is a good, like, I probably should put a slash enjoyment, because there's a thing where you definitely need to enjoy what you do. I learned this the hard way, people. I literally transferred my entire, like, I shifted into this personal branding entrepreneur. Like, when I found that out, I shifted and shut down a lot of things when I was not getting fulfillment. And so I learned this the hard way. So I think that's a good one, man. You're making me rethink that last one.
You're welcome. Ooh. It's what we do. It's what we do on this show.
I like that. That's a little like,
we are hard hitting, you know.
I like it. Execution and enjoyment. I like that.
All right. We're going to go through some of the rapid fire stuff here real quick.
Yep. Cool.
Dumbest thing you ever heard in a meeting.
Holy crap. I've heard of a lot of dumb things. It's because, like, people bring a lot of ideas to me typically. You know, I'm talking to entrepreneurs.
What's the thing that right now you're saying, okay, that's it.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard in a meeting. Dang, I've never been asked this question.
Again, it's what we do.
Something recently. Dang it, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to put him on blast. I don't want to put him on blast.
Resourceful. Grab your resourcefulness here, Jamar.
Yeah. I think so. I'm going to say when people. So I'm going to say this out loud, but so when people like have an expectation that they're going to blow up overnight, I think it's just like super dumb. You know, they they see the top people that are doing things and they're like, man, Jamar, I'm trying to like be $100,000 keynote speaker in the next month, and I want to be speaking all over the place and like all across the globe. And like, that's my expectation. And
tomorrow.
And they're like, we're also starting from zero, guys. Like, they have zero like brand positioning. They don't know like what are we doing here? That's something recently that I've heard where I just, you know, respectfully declined.
Perfect. You got a time machine. What year are you going back to and why?
Oh shoot. Probably the day that I left my parents' house. So that was right after I graduated high school. Mm. And I forgot exactly what year. It was like 2006 or 2008. I forgot what year I graduated.
6-7.
I I regret leaving so early and also in the way that I did.
Okay.
I should have. I was young and stupid, and I just got out the house and
peace out, Girl Scout.
Yeah, I just left. So I regret that.
Okay.
Totally.
What's your go-to excuse when running late?
And Brad, the reason I'm laughing is Brad, like, I'm always running late. It's a running joke in my family. I'm just always late.
What's the excuse?
The excuse. Usually the excuse is I'll be right there. Like, I'm almost there. Like, I'm close, almost. But I'm not close at all. Like, I'm not even remotely close.
Coffee or energy drink?
Coffee.
go-to curse word?
I don't really curse too much, but it's probably just ass. I don't really curse too much.
Favorite candy?
Don't really eat too much candy, but I like the don't roast me on this one, but there's like these organic like fruit roll-up things.
All
that
right.
that there's like nothing in them and they're not too sweet, but they're good after like dinner if I'm got a sweet tooth.
All right. Okay. I thought you were going to say like homemade butterscotch. I'm
like, what? Like, what is this dude on, bro?
Text or call?
Text all day. I'm not really a caller.
Really? Shocking. You're a millennial. Early bird or night owl?
I'm a night owl all day.
Yep. What was in your lunchbox today?
In my lunchbox, I didn't have a lunchbox, but I had, I love breakfast. So I did breakfast for lunch. So I did a waffle, sausage, bacon, and cheese.
Okay.
Nice.
Dream job as a kid.
Dude, okay. I wanted to like rescue all the animals as a kid for
rescue
some reason.
Rescue them from what?
Just... from death and disaster. I don't know. I just wanted to rescue all. So it's funny because I actually have a letter that I wrote the president, and I got a letter back from the president. And I think what president was that? Oh shoot!
Well, you would have been Reagan. You could have, as a young kid, depending on how young you were at the time, it would have
Reagan
been Reagan.
Sounds no. What's the one after that?
Bush.
Bush.
Senior.
Bush. So I got a letter back and it was like, thank you so much for your letter. And like, it just was, I don't think he even saw it. It was probably just some canned response thing, but I just wanted to save the animals. I don't know. I just wanted to just save them and put them somewhere. I don't know.
Awesome. Most overused phrase at work.
Parking lot. Put it in the parking lot. We're going to park this. Park, park, park. All parking.
Favorite pizza topping? Better not say pineapple.
No, it's not pineapple.
Okay.
It's more of like an extra, but I love a good garlic drizzle like on a pizza. Like, so I like pepperoni, like meat lover type stuff. But if you got some garlic on there, then he sets it off.
Nice. Favorite movie quote?
Man, well, my favorite movie is V for Vendetta. So,
not seen it, so I can't answer that. So what's...
All right. I have. Solid.
So, I mean, there's like so many quotables. But there's this part in the movie where they say, where he says ideas are bulletproof. And I love that line because he thought that like he could win, but like the power of an idea is like the most, like you can't stop that, you know? And I just love that. Also Inception also said something similar in that movie too, about the power of an idea, of how powerful it is. I just love that line and it just applies to everything I do.
Favorite music?
Hip hop.
Oh, come on. I thought we were going to say country.
No, nowhere near.
Oh, hell no.
No, nowhere near. Nowhere near.
Favorite sport?
Basketball.
Bucket list vacation location?
Oh, shoot. Bucket list. I really want to go to Bali.
Okay.
Would be amazing. And Japan.
All right. And then last one, living or dead, who would you want to have a conversation with?
Dang, I hate this question because there's so many people I want to talk to. I feel like I'm going to say a cliche answer. Probably Martin Luther King.
Okay.
Most likely.
That cliche.
I just feel like, you know, a lot of people go for like the super influential people that, you know.
We've had, it's been a very good mix of things.
Really?
We've had folks that want to talk to their parents. To siblings, talk to lots of different things, right? There's not been a very, that question has gotten a lot of different responses to it.
Oh, so. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Not cliche at all.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of, I feel like that would be a very inspiring and interesting conversation, especially if I could tell them like what happened.
Mm-hmm.
be interesting.
That would be very interesting, for sure. So how do people find Jamar Jones besides looking at his sneakers?
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas, Brad. you can find me on LinkedIn. It's the, like, I love sending people to LinkedIn so you can see kind of what I'm up to. It's just Jamar Jones. I got it like a red, right now it's a red profile picture. But you can find all our information on Forever Media at www.forevermedia.com. And that's FOUREVA media.com. And you can see everything that we're up to, follow all our socials, and see how we can help.
So who can we introduce you to from this show, Jamar?
Oh, like a past guest?
Sure.
Anybody?
Who can we make an introduction to that you are looking to meet that maybe we could, who can we put that out in the universe for from this show to be part of that circle of that opportunity? Our tens of listeners may have the opportunity to do so, but let's just find out because we don't know who we know.
I would love to be introduced to somebody that has produced retreats at a very high level, that does like hundreds or, you know, of retreats like on an annual basis, like somebody that really, really knows that space.
Okay.
It's kind of where we're going. I want to learn more about that space. And the only way I can learn it is by asking for help.
Then we'll see what the audience can do with that.
Awesome.
Don't know, but let's see what happens. All right.
Cool.
Jamar, thank you so much for being here today. The circle methodology is really important to figure that out because it can make the change, and it has made the change. I know some of the folks that you've worked with and done that, and it's made an impact in their lives, and it works. So thank you for what you do, and we appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me on.
Not a problem. Thanks. Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.